910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Memorial for the two young people murdered in Washington, D.C., and what police say appears to be an anti-Semitic attack.
Overnight, hundreds gathered outside the White House for a vigil, honoring the two Israeli embassy employees who were shot and killed. On Wednesday night, 30-year-old Yaron Leshinsky and his girlfriend, 26-year-old Sarah Milgram, had been attending a Jewish heritage event at the Capitol Jewish Museum. The couple, just days away from being engaged, was fatally wounded by a suspect who authorities say was fixated on the Israel-Hamas war.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio, among the victims of the San Diego plane crash on Thursday, Dave Shapiro, music agent and founder of the Sound Talent Group. He was also the pilot and owner of that plane. Six people were killed, all on board. The Trump administration revoking Harvard University's ability to enroll international students, saying thousands either have to transfer or leave the country. Harvard says the move is completely illegal. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office kicks into high gear this weekend with two huge releases squaring off for your hard-earned money. Let's start with The Granddaddy, which is the final installment of the Mission Impossible franchise, at least for now. Mission Impossible: The Final Reckoning continues the story from 2 years ago, where we left with a train hanging off a cliff. The film is pulling about an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes because some critics apparently don't know how to party. Not to be outdone, the live-action version of Lilo and Stitch also opens this weekend and is also anticipated massive returns at the gate. In the film, which is pulling a 73% on Rotten Tomatoes, a fugitive alien helps a young Hawaiian girl heal her dysfunctional family. If you're looking for some good old-fashioned, cringeworthy adult comedy, check out the film Friendship, which goes into wider release this weekend. If you're in a small town, you might have to road trip for the laughs, but it might be worth it as it's pulling a 90% on RT. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers sink the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Pirates 8-5. After a nearly two-hour rain delay during the sixth, the Brewers started Aaron Civale, then right-hander Carlos Rodriguez came in and managed to continue pitching after the long delay, Pat Murphy.
You know, it feels like Civale pitched yesterday, but to be able to pitch after that delay, to delay almost 2 hours and have the mental capacity in his first outing of the year in the big leagues, get his first major league win, he deserves it.
NFL, the Packers' annual charity softball game is tonight in Grand Chute, Wisconsin.
I know the fans are a big part of this game. They show out every year and pack that stadium out, so hopefully we can get as many fans as possible out there. It's going to be another awesome event, another awesome year. I know the players are excited to, you know, show off their softball skills. We've been working and training very hard. Come out, bring the family. It'll be an awesome event to be able to watch the Packer players play a different sport.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 Mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow, also Peter Rapine from EFOB's World, talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Huey. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have a pretty nice Memorial Day weekend coming up. Plenty of sunshine, highs of the 60s, maybe a little frost on some of the mornings. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tonight, we'll drop back into the low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating Me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Jay, Matt, Nair, and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we update all the latest news, lightening things up in hour number two. We talk to the Madison Mallards and Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record. I hope you can join us.
Matt and Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
And off to Memorial Weekend. I think that's what a lot of folks are thinking this morning, if not already there. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Well, depending on where you're going in Wisconsin, the weather could influence just how much fun you have in the great outdoors anyhow. For today, the sunshine is back in the forecast. That's good news. Daytime highs today right around 62 with a little bit of a breeze out of the north, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, sunshine again, 65. Sunday looks pretty good, sunny and 66. But then if you're going to plan on hanging around Memorial Monday, well, things could change. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, joins me live in about 15 minutes to chat up that weather forecast. Also this morning, we're chatting up the Make America Healthy Again conversation that unfolded yesterday. Production agriculture quite concerned about some of the trends that they saw. We'll hear from the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation on that one. And federal cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program mean that a lot of Wisconsin families might wonder where their next meal is coming from. I'll get you a snippet on that as well as we roll along.
Veltima fungicide outyields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As of June, there will be changes coming to our dairy barns. I'm Bob Bosol from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. We are talking about changes to federal milk marketing orders. Leonard Polzin is with us to talk about that. Dairy markets and policy outreach specialist with the University of Wisconsin. And Leonard, we went through the last year or two all kinds of hearings on changing federal milk marketing orders. Why? What brought that about? Who is bringing the request for change?
A lot of these requests for change kind of started as a symptom, if we will, of a greater of the system and of the way that just the mechanics of this federal order policy work. It started with processors, a lot of times cooperatives, kind of saying, hey, we need to adjust make allowances, which is the amount that they are allocated to transform this raw milk from the farm into a consumable product. So that's the make allowance. They're saying, hey, these make allowances aren't keeping up with our cost of production, which has over time influenced some of these things such as premiums. So the premiums that they're able to pay to producers, so we call them above order premiums or over order premiums, we've seen those decrease over time. Other symptoms that we've seen is more depooling and negative PPDs.
Now, right? By depooling, what are you talking about?
So depooling is processors electing not to participate in the federal milk marketing orders because they receive a greater price for their milk if they go outside of the order. One of the reasons for that is the federal milk marketing orders are designed for fluid milk. So they were created in 1937 when fluid milk was really the logistical and market issue that we were trying to solve. But as fluid milk consumption decreased over time here, and especially in the upper Midwest, a lot of our utilization goes to cheese. So where federal orders come into play is that it works to distribute and create market access in broader geographical sense of this fluid milk product. And the idea is that fluid milk is the highest value. So when you look at the ranking, fluid milk is the highest value, followed by cheese, followed by butter, followed by your, other soft products, and then powder. Well, the idea is that if we pool these revenues from this fluid milk sales, and then we distribute them back to everybody, then it would raise everybody's pay price. But if this value of fluid milk sales decreases or there's less of it, then that total pool of money that's available to distribute becomes less. So that's where when processors, say a cheese processor, decides to pool, what they do is say, hey, it looks like this pooled value of milk from these class one fluid milk sales is going to be larger than I as the processor would receive money that I can then distribute to my farmers. But if the value is less in that pool, then cheese processors have to do what they call pay into the pool. So instead of receiving money to distribute to their farmers, they'd have to pay into the pool because that value would be lower.
And we had hearings down in Indiana that went on for quite a while. We've come up with these new reforms that are going to be taking place as of June 1st. Give us some of the highlights or some of the headlines. What are the reforms going to mean as far as processes are concerned and the bottom line for dairy producers?
Yeah, that's a great question. So on June 1st, here are the big things that are happening. The first is, like we just talked about, this updating of make allowances. That's where most of the decrease in pay price here will be coming from, is the increase in make allowance.
To dairy farmers.
To dairy farmers.
In dairy farmer pay prices.
Correct. Yep. So we'll see. And that will happen. It's already priced in the market. If you take a look at class three markets, we've had enough fundamental other changes at the moment that if you look at that, you won't see a decrease right now. And that's just as of this last week. But the first quarter of the year, you could see where June 1st, we'd have this decrease in class three price. And right now, you even see that in the class four futures, too.
Going forward, is this going to balance out? Are we going to get a consistent price? Are we still going to have the volatility in these prices from, I don't know, 16 to 21, whatever?
The volatility will largely remain. However, when we model this out, the way that we're anticipating it to work is that these changes should encourage more pooling of milk, which would then over time increase pay price simply because you're increasing the amount of milk that's pooled. You would have hopefully less negative PPDs as well. And overall, we should get back to or above our initial baseline scenario. That's the hope. That's the plan. That's what the math is showing at the moment.
What other June 1st changes are we going to see based on these hearings and the decision made by the Federal Milk Marketing Order people?
So the other change is that we'll be removing 500-pound barrel cheese from the USDA survey, which is involved in Class 3 pricing. The implications there are we'll see a small increase in cheese price historically. If we go back, that's what we would expect. But in the grand scheme of things, we'll say somewhat minimal. There is somewhat of a wild card there simply because the barrel market has kind of fundamentally become its own beast. It's kind of matured into its own market. So if we look back at history, we can anticipate that it would have, you know, a marginal increase in producer pay price, but the real effect is somewhat unknown there. The other things is that we'll have this butterfat recovery factor, which is basically accounting for how much of that solid is used in this transformation process from raw milk to an actual edible product. So that'll increase in the math, which means that that'll give a bump to some pay price. We're also going to reinstate the higher of formula for class one skim milk. Right now we're at the average of.
Hey, explain what higher of means, because that's just two words, higher of, but it has an impact.
Right now, what we have is a system where we take the average of the class three or the class four skim milk price, which is then used to determine the class one skim milk price. So we take the average of plus 74 cents, and then that's what we use for this class one skim milk price. Now, what we're reverting to is using the higher of that class three or class four price in order to calculate that class one price. In doing so, we should hopefully have, honestly, it'll be somewhat of a marginal change to the producer, but it will have, hopefully, if we go back in history, it should have somewhat of a higher class one price. So we'll say a marginal benefit to the plus side on producer pay price.
What else in the June 1st recommendations or changes?
There's a special provision for extended shelf life, which is a class one product. And some of that just kind of helps with some of the risk management and making, just because of some of the fundamental characteristics of that product, they wanted to make adjustments or allocations for that. So that way, hopefully we can potentially gain some more market in that space, just make it easier for those folks to operate there. And the other one that we're going to see a bump or a positive impact on producer pay price is the update of what we call these class one differentials. Class one differential, just like, you know, class one is that fluid milk. The whole idea of this class one differential is to take milk that's produced in a surplus area, oftentimes the upper Midwest, and move that to deficit areas such as the Southeast. Florida is a good example all the time. So this class one differential is calculated on a per county basis for every county in the entire U.S. to see what should the incentive be to move milk from these surplus areas to these deficit areas. So the further away you are from a deficit area, the bigger bump in pay price you'll see. But even so, in the upper Midwest, we should see a modest increase in that as well. So for those of you that are kind of keeping a tally here, we'll say that the increase in make allowance is the largest negative or decrease on your producer pay price, where a lot of the other ones should act as offsetting factor. When we do the math and calculate it all the way through, at the end of the day, we're still initially in this first month here at a negative, but the hope is all of these other adjustments will make it less negative, and that over time, through, you know, these market incentives, again, of pooling more milk, we can hopefully get more premiums back. We can have less negative PPDs, and that as we go on, we can see greater or higher milk prices than what we would see otherwise.
Changes to the federal milk marketing orders. They are here as of June 1st. Leonard Poulzine to explain what it means to consumers, to producers, and to processors. Leonard Poulzine, Dairy Markets and Policy Outreach Specialist with the University of Wisconsin. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience. Where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoon. 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. You just came from an OBGYN conference.
They had a lube bar because there are lots of different kinds of personal lubricants that you can use.
When you say lube, do you need that to give birth the woman?
No, it's for sex. I recommend generally a water-based lube.
Are you writing this down, Conrad?
I cannot speak right now.
Is he blushing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's an all-star pre-recorded cast of guests with WBAY's Emerson Lehman, director Michael Collins, Civic Media's Eliza Cusson, and Terry Barr for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Financial is your financial partner. Rural Wisconsin, as well as production agriculture, they're there for you. And joining us this morning, our man, Stu Mock, ag meteorologist. And, you know, everybody in the 40s this morning, Stu, man, we got a pretty good slug of rain out of this last system. 2.8 inches from Rusty and Two Rivers. Mark Jones in the west side of Madison, almost 2 inches. 3 inches from a buddy of mine in Portage. Have you got some of those final details wrapped up now?
Yeah, I've got about a 3-inch over here just east of Fond du Lac, almost to the Sheboygan County border, and a lot of folks were up in that inch and three-quarter, 2-inch, almost 3 inches. Fortunately enough, that's all behind us. And heading into this weekend, things do appear to be on the drier side. The temperatures start to moderate a bit, too. So after all of that moisture, now we're going to warm it up some. It will dry slowly, but we'll warm up those temps, and that's going to help with our newly planted crops, and it's going to make that hay field look a bit better. And, yes, of course, make those lawns all shaggy, so we've all got that project heading into the weekend. High pressure is building in from the west. It will head over to Wisconsin right on through the weekend. So we have sunny skies, of course, clear skies at night. That's why the frost advisory up there in the Park Falls and Hayward, that northwest part of Wisconsin, they're frosty this morning. Believe it or not, they'll still have frost. I wouldn't be surprised by a frost advisory tomorrow morning and even on towards Sunday morning in that northwest part of the state. About the only change to all of this is that low pressure is off to our east, and that system still providing a lot of rain over in southeast parts of Canada, just up into the far eastern parts of the UP, northern lower Michigan. Northeast Wisconsin may experience a few more clouds this afternoon and a very slight chance of a little rain. Door Peninsula, that far northeast part of the state, Marinette, Menominee, that area. There could be a little bit of rain late today or even later tomorrow. I don't think the rest of us will have any concern of that. Sunny and fine conditions, just slowly and surely warming up through the three-day weekend, and temperatures finally should be getting back into that normal neighborhood as we head on toward Tuesday and Wednesday. So a little more of a mild air mass coming up. Not much of a rain threat. In fact, any possibility of rain even into early next week ought to be to our south or just graze southern Wisconsin. So hopefully for a lot of us, we've got a drier spell with that mild air right into next week. I'll check our forecast right after this.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Sarbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit CentralFlyControl.com.
Hey, got healed? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit WISoybean.org.
Yeah, and I'll be talking with a Wisconsin soybean grower on what's going on in that field before we're wrapped up on a Friday. All righty, Stu, a lot of people hanging on every word you've got to say as far as the weekend is concerned. I like that the temperatures are starting to turn around a little bit.
Yeah, it's probably a little slower than a lot of folks might hope for the weekend. You know, we're not going to be back up into the 70s or anything, but we will be warming. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update is for a mostly sunny sky today. There'll still be upper 50s in the north, low 60s further south. North winds about 5 to 10. Far northeast Wisconsin, that slight rain chance here a little later today. Partly cloudy overnight, and we all cool off. Upper 30s south. More like 30 or so in the far northwest, where it'll be frosty with a light north breeze. More sunshine tomorrow. Very upper 50s, maybe mid-60s in the south. Winds out of the north only at 5. Mostly sunny Sunday. Again, just in the 60s north. Upper 60s south. We're getting that warm-up. The north winds at 5. I'd say Memorial Day, Pam, sunny, nice. A lot of upper 60s around. Sounds very pleasant. Won't be quite windy either, so should be enjoyable.
All right, good deal. We got Bratfest starting in the Madison area, and they're going to need At least dry helps with brat sales. You know what I mean?
They've got that made. I think they'll have a good time.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. We'll catch up with you on Monday.
All right, see
Tuesday.
Ya.
Check that Tuesday. Yeah. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, checking in with our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Find out more and get online, compeer.com, on a Friday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Eber's budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Memorial for the two young people murdered in Washington, D.C., and what police say appears to be an anti-Semitic attack.
Overnight, hundreds gathered outside the White House for a vigil, honoring the two Israeli embassy employees who were shot and killed. On Wednesday night, 30-year-old Yaron Leshinsky and his girlfriend, 26-year-old Sarah Milgram, had been attending a Jewish heritage event at the Capitol Jewish Museum. The couple, just days away from being engaged, was fatally wounded by a suspect who authorities say was fixated on the Israel-Hamas war.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio, among the victims of the San Diego plane crash on Thursday, Dave Shapiro, music agent and founder of the Sound Talent Group. He was also the pilot and owner of that plane. Six people were killed, all on board. The Trump administration revoking Harvard University's ability to enroll international students, saying thousands either have to transfer or leave the country. Harvard says the move is completely illegal. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
Well, it's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers sink the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Pirates 8-5. After a nearly two-hour rain delay during the sixth, the Brewers started Aaron Civale, then right-hander Carlos Rodriguez came in and managed to continue pitching after the long delay. Pat Murphy.
You know, it feels like Civale pitched yesterday, but to be able to pitch after that delay, to delay almost 2 hours and have the mental capacity in his first outing of the year in the big leagues, get his first major league win, he deserves it.
NFL, the Packers' annual charity softball game is tonight in Grand Chute, Wisconsin.
I know the fans are a big part of this game. They show out every year and pack that stadium out, so hopefully we can get as many fans as possible out there. It's going to be another awesome event, another awesome year. I know the players are excited to, you know, show off their softball skills. We've been working and training very hard. Come out, bring the family. It'll be an awesome event to be able to watch the Packer players play a different sport.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time from beautiful Lake Wissota with Pat Kreitlow, also Peter Rapine from EFOM's World, talking about the Badger Honor Flight and even sports with Brady Ewing. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We have a pretty nice Memorial Day weekend coming up. Plenty of sunshine, highs of the 60s, maybe a little frost on some of the mornings. Today, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s. Tonight, we'll drop back into the low 30s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 28.
Mental health is health care. Self-care isn't selfish, and asking for help is a brave and powerful step. Mental health affects every one of us, regardless of age, race, or background. And yet stigma holds many people back from getting the support needed.
I grew up being called a worry wart, which I've now learned is anxiety.
Kira Sabin gets it. The Madison-based positive psychology coach says many times you just have to let it go.
A lot of the times the energy that we spend trying to control our environments is wasted because we're trying to control things we can't. We can't control the way other people react to us. And trying to just drives us crazy.
This Mental Health Awareness Month, let's break the silence, build understanding, and create a world where mental wellness is a priority for everyone. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here. You just came from an OBGYN conference.
They had a lube bar because there are lots of different kinds of personal lubricants that you can use.
When you say lube, do you need that to give birth, the woman?
No, it's for sex. I recommend generally a water-based lube.
Are you writing this down, Conrad?
I cannot speak right now.
Is he blushing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
350-pound nose tackles.
Have you ever heard the phrase glamping? It's really become quite the thing. Folks that like to go to remote areas and camp out. Sometimes it's a little bit more fancy than just a tent. Other times, it's really about the location. Well, some Wisconsin farms are now trying to capitalize on folks that want to come out to their properties and camp. But we're going to find out this morning, it's not as easy as it may seem. Welcome back, everybody. It's finally Friday. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 23rd day of May. What can I tell you? Let's see. Kind of strikes a little close to the heart at this time of the year. On this day back in 1878, three counties in Wisconsin were devastated by destructive storms and tornadoes. Dane, Jefferson, and Iowa counties. Now remember, this was back in 1878. Some of the reports say that there were three separate tornadoes that touched down, caused all kinds of damage. Two people died because of it. The property loss in 1878 was estimated at $63,000 in Iowa County, $43,000 in Dane County, and $23,000 in Jefferson County. And like I said, loss of lives, too. That was on this day back in 1878. Boy, this has been a lucky date for movies. On this day in 1980, the movie The Shining was released. Stanley Kubrick was the director, obviously. Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall. How many people are still doing that? Here's Johnny. That was on this day back in 1980. Same thing for Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Steven Spielberg, Harrison Ford, George Lucas, they released that back on this day, 1984. And on this date, 2021, Phil Mickelson becomes the oldest golfer to win the majors. He was 50 years old at the time and won his sixth major by two strokes over Brooks Koepka. That was on this day back in 2021, and now you know. The controversial Make America Healthy Again Commission released a much-anticipated report yesterday, basically taking a look at the food processing industry, what we eat, and how it is produced. You know that agriculture was listening in very closely. One of those, American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall, most of agriculture not very pleased with what they heard.
A new report from the Make America Healthy Again Commission, appointed by the White House, is causing concern among farmers and ranchers. Sam Kiefer, Vice President of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the report covers several key issues relevant to agriculture.
There's four sections of the report that talk about processed foods, chemicals in the environment, childhood behavior, and medication. But throughout the report, there are positive things said about farmers, but some concerning comments made about the tools farmers use.
Kiefer said the report is often contradictory, criticizing farming practices while claiming farmers are partners.
And then attempts to celebrate the farmers and the critical role that farmers play in producing safe food, not only for the U.S. and the world, which they acknowledge in the report. The report identifies farmers as critical partners, but yet despite several requests to be included in the development of the report, farmers were not invited.
Kiefer says farmers and ranchers are committed to improving the health outcomes of Americans.
We're dedicated to the continuous improvement. That's how American agriculture is as efficient, productive, and safe as it is today, because we're grounded by sound science and technological advances. We've got the greatest, most abundant, and safest food system.
For more information, go to fb.org/news. Chad Smith, Washington.
Thanks, Chad. And really, all of agriculture and the food processing industry responded yesterday to the commission's report, regardless of political affiliation or commodity being raised. Yesterday, Rod LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union, said, while they appreciate the attention the White House is bringing to the health and well-being of Americans' children, We also have to be mindful that disregarding the expertise of respected regulatory bodies and leaving farmers out of the conversation undermines public trust and puts the future of American agriculture and rural economies at risk. Rod LaRue, president of the National Farmers Union, he says they are urging the administration to include the voices of family farmers and ranchers as they continue this work and make sure that solutions are rooted in sound science, fairness, and transparency. That was a consistent conversation with all commodity groups, farm organizations, and food processors as they reacted to the Make America Healthy Again Commission report issued yesterday. Coming up next, quick look at the markets for you on a Friday.
Rising energy costs impacting your farm's profits?
Focus on Energy is here to help with increased incentives for energy-efficient upgrades in 2025. Save money and energy for years to come.
Take the first step toward lowering utility bills. Call 800-762-7077 or visit focusonenergy.com/agribusiness today.
That's focusonenergy.com/agribusiness. Focus on Energy, proudly supporting Wisconsin farmers since 2001.
Wisconsin's dairy industry continues to move forward thanks to the dedication and forward-thinking mindset of the farmers behind it. From daily tasks on the farm to big-picture innovations, they're always finding better ways to do what they do best. As Gail Klinkner, a member of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors, explains, it's that same forward-thinking approach that's helping shape the future and keeping the industry strong.
I think that's a huge key to the continuation of the dairy industry and what makes our dairy industry so strong. Dairy farmers are some of the best when it comes to innovation and new products. On the farm here, we're always looking to do things more efficiently, taking care of our cows, soils, and our environment. And then you think about all the different ways dairy is used in our diets today from the processors and the innovations there in adding more dairy to, say, your creamers and different products that our consumers enjoy.
To learn more about the impact of dairy in our state and how your checkoff dollars support it, visit wisconsindairy.org.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
So as far as the dairy community was concerned, yesterday in Chicago, we saw the barrel cheese gain 0.75 cents to 187. 40-pound block cheese, that was up 0.25, 194.75. AA butter, 2 cents higher, 236.25 per pound. On the close Thursday, we saw July corn up 2. December new crop was down 2.25 at 453.25. July soybeans on Thursday closed nearly a nickel stronger. November new crop was up 3 at 10.55.25. July wheat, that dropped almost a nickel to 544.5. The June class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that was up 30 cents at 19.93. July up 35 cents at $20. You know, these commodity prices are not what many Wisconsin farms were hoping for 2025. So they're trying to look for a little extra, well, we call it side hustle, a little extra money that they can help offset some of the losses in many cases. Talked about it yesterday with Sheila Everhart. She's the executive director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. Many of you thinking about going camping this weekend? Well, farms would love to welcome you to their parcels. Nothing fancy necessarily, but a chance to experience an evening on the farm. But Everhart tells me there's some complications to that happening.
You know, the hottest trend right now, Pam, is farm stays. And people want to be able to put a tent in a pasture or in a farmer's woods, or they want to take their self-contained trailer and maybe park it at the end of a gravel road on the farm to experience a farm stay. Well, we are working on changing legislation that was changed in 2017. Previously, if you had 0 to 3 sites, you did not need a campground license. Farmers are not campgrounds. People who want a farm stay on a farm are a different clientele than those that want to go to a campground. And we are looking at the flexibility and the opportunity for small family farms to be able to generate a little additional revenue stream. Nobody's going to become millionaires offering a farm stay or offering someone to pitch a tent or to pull their self-contained trailer to learn about agriculture. What's going to happen, though, if that opportunity presents itself to our family farms, all of our rural communities will prosper because they will stay in the community longer. They will eat in the restaurants. They will go to the convenience stores. They will buy your products, your teas, your wines, your beer. They will shop in our rural communities.
Sheila Everhart, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. She said right now there is a draft of a bill that would simply change language to allow farms to welcome campers to their property, of course, a limited number, without a permit being necessary. What she has learned is Senator Rob Stafsholt has asked that 10 farms be ready to commit to testify on this issue before he introduces the bill. So if this is something that you see as an opportunity for your farm in smaller numbers, or you just want to see the revenue stream opened up for others, contact Sheila Everhart again at the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. She'll get you connected with the senator and maybe get that one moving before the end of the summer season is upon us. Up next, talking spring planting with Wisconsin soybean grower Matt Wagenson. Stick around.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The independent state legislature theory met a skeptical U.S. Supreme Court in 2023 in Moore v. Harper, a North Carolina gerrymandering case. The Michigan GOP tried to employ the fringe theory to undo Michigan's Question 2 citizen ballot initiative, but the U.S. Supreme Court refused the case May 19th. Proponents argue the independent state legislature theory gives legislatures ultimate power over federal election rules based on a widely dismissed interpretation of the election clause of the U.S. Constitution. In North Carolina's case, the legislature admitted it gerrymandered but said it had the final say and the courts and governor had no jurisdiction. In 2022, Michigan's Promote the Vote Question 2 ballot initiative passed 60% to 40%. It enshrined multiple voting rights in the state constitution, including 9 days of early voting, guaranteeing the right to vote without harassment, offering a permanent vote-by-mail list, and mandating drop boxes and several other important voting reforms. 11 GOP legislators tried to invalidate the ballot question using the ISL theory. They argued that only the state legislature could make election law, not those pesky constituents. The Michigan Supreme Court dismissed the case in April 2024, and on May 19th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. We have more on ISL and the Michigan case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we update all the latest news, lightening things up in hour number two. We talk to the Madison Mallards and Tyler Moss from Milwaukee Record. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Morty's a grower himself by Bear Creek. In fact, I'm catching him literally in the tractor cab. Been a busy time of the year for you, Matt. How's planting been going so far?
Really well. We've been pretty fortunate. It's dried out nice for us. We are almost all of their corn, and we're just starting on new ground right now.
So excellent. We'll have to. Good, good. Now, Matt, let's talk a little bit. One of the things that people may not understand is Wisconsin soybean growers are investing money through the checkoff on new product development, on research, on education. And it's not just for the farmers. It is for the consumers. Tell them a little bit about some recent investments that Wisconsin soybean growers made, not just on products, but also finding out what today's consumers think about soybean growers and the products they develop.
Right. So we're working on the soy foam product right now up in the River Falls area, and also with using soy oil to produce tires for our vehicles. But if the consumer doesn't know we're doing these things, it never ends up being a feather in our hat. So we did this survey, and finding out the older generations are still have faith in what we're doing, and the younger generations might not have an idea of what's going on. So we just wanted to find out what they knew so we could try to inform them better.
What struck you about the information that you received, Matt? There's got to be a couple points that really resonated with you.
So, like I said about the older generation, they still might have memories or ties to the family farm, or a younger generation might have never set foot on a farm. So they don't remember grandma and grandpa's farm. So that makes our job that much harder, because we need to tell our story better and not use farmer terminology. We need to use consumer terminology to help them understand what we're doing out here and the things we are producing to make their lives better, such as the soy foam and soy oil to produce tires for their vehicles.
Right. Now, were they educated in that survey about what you are doing? Give us a little sense on, you know, how you garnish that information.
So the survey was more for us, so we knew how to tell our story, Pam. And I guess that's where we got to start to do a better job to tell our story, because if we don't tell it, someone else will. That's what the survey generally was, to give us direction so we knew where to better spend our checkoff dollars.
Right, right. Matt Wagenson literally joining us in his tractor cab as he tries to take care of some of the spring planting chores that are priorities in his mind. But as a Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board member, it's also a priority to know how to reach those consumers that have no exposure to farming today. Do you think, Matt, that when the younger generation, as you say, hears the story about the renewable products that soybeans are a part of, like you said, tires that are not so much petroleum-based, is that an area where you see them coming to the table with interest?
Oh, for sure. People are very excited when they hear about us doing these things, and I want them to go up and down 151 or 41 or 29 and not see soybean fields, but see soy foam and see tires and see these things that we're doing to help better our lives. That soy foam is some fantastic stuff, and it's replacing some nasty stuff that is hurting our firefighters. So that soy foam is a double win for us.
Well, and like you said, products that people identify with on a daily basis, like the tire components and some of the other materials that are all around them, but they may not come with a label that says made by Wisconsin soybeans.
That's just it. That's why we have to get out, and we're doing our best to tell our story and let the consumer know that we're making these products out of our agricultural goods in this state.
Again, Matt Wagenson joining us. He is one of the board members of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board. I'll remind you, they've got a great website that can start you down that educational path, wisoybean.org, wisoybean.org. Has the board decided on any direction that they want to take with some of this research information, Matt? Are we going to see any fall campaigns or anything like that we should be paying attention to where farmers are going to be speaking up?
Yeah, we're working on a couple videos for an informatory campaign. We're going to have our June meeting and discuss some more results from this survey and see where we can go forward.
Excellent, excellent. Again, like we said, checkoff dollars at work. It's not just about research and education for the farmer. It's also about education for that consumer that may not be understanding of where those foams that are being used by firefighters, or that tire that they're using today, where new products that are being innovated every day come from, and they may have their beginning in soy. Again, Matt Wagenson along with us. WISoybean.org can help you reveal some of that information for yourself. And we'll look forward to those informational campaigns coming up from Wisconsin soybean growers in the near future. WISoybean.org, Wisconsin soybean growers, bringing you this message.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Matinee on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Eber's budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matinee on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Cancer risks may be higher on the farm. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health Campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. As if there weren't enough health and safety issues on the farm, people in agriculture and related industries in rural areas may have a higher risk for cancer. Carolyn Powell of the Iowa Cancer Consortium participated in a recent AgriSafe webinar on the subject.
We know that cancer does occur less in rural areas compared to urban ones, but the cancer rate is higher in rural areas. And this is often due to barriers to accessing screening or treatments.
Powell says cancer risks can rise depending on environmental exposures.
Cancer is a disease of many genetic, behavioral, social, and environmental factors. Not all environmental factors are within the control of the individual to mitigate, but they are still considered modifiable.
Another presenter, Audrey Tron Lom, works at the University of Northern Iowa and says a farm can pose a variety of cancer-connected exposures.
Chemicals that are used on a farm, like herbicides, certain insecticides, maybe fertilizers, diesel engine exhaust, certain solvents, organic dust, radiation, mostly talking about the sun here, heavy metal exposures, and of course, a mixture of any of these substances together.
Learn more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's an all-star pre-recorded cast of guests with WBAY's Emerson Lehman, director Michael Collins, Civic Media's Eliza Cusson, and Terry Barr for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the global cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Memorial for the two young people murdered in Washington, D.C., and what police say appears to be an anti-Semitic attack.
Overnight, hundreds gathered outside the White House for a vigil, honoring the two Israeli embassy employees who were shot and killed. On Wednesday night, 30-year-old Yaron Leshinsky and his girlfriend, 26-year-old Sarah Milgram, had been attending a Jewish heritage event at the Capitol Jewish Museum. The couple, just days away from being engaged, was fatally wounded by a suspect who authorities say was fixated on the Israel-Hamas war.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio, among the victims of the San Diego plane crash on Thursday, Dave Shapiro, music agent and founder of the Sound Talent Group. He was also the pilot and owner of that plane. Six people were killed, all on board. The Trump administration revoking Harvard University's ability to enroll international students, saying thousands either have to transfer or leave the country. Harvard says the move is completely illegal. This is ABC News.
You can